Continuing coverage of the coronavirus emergency and how it affects Sonoma County. Here is KSRO News Director Pat Carrigan.
And good afternoon to you. Happy Sunday, the 5th of April. Another day with the coronavirus. It's 12:06. Glad to have you here with us this afternoon. And we go right to the top. Dr. Sundari Mace is here, top doc for Sonoma County Public Health. Good afternoon, Dr. Mace.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon.
Thanks for being with us again on this Sunday. Has it officially been determined that the coronavirus is in fact airborne?
Yeah, I mean, we think we've always thought that it is airborne in addition to direct contact.
And talk about the use of masks. You've come out and said, yes, we should do that while we are out and about. What changed that perception?
Well, you know, now we know we have a lot of community transmission. We currently have 107 total cases in Sonoma County. And we know that it's spread person to person by direct contact, but also, as we said, through droplet nuclei with talking, coughing, sneezing, singing, all of those behaviors as well. So what we're saying is that when people go out of shelter in place, for essential activities or to be involved with their essential businesses, they should wear a facial covering. So it's really not specifically a mask. It's certainly not the kind of mask the healthcare workers are using, like the N95s or even the surgical masks.
Yeah, those are too few and far between, right?
Exactly. So we're trying to preserve those sorts of masks for our healthcare workers, our first responders, and people who are coming in contact with patients. So what we're asking folks to do is when they're out and about to wear a facial covering. It could be a bandana. It could be a scarf. It could also be a home sewn mask. You know, anything really. And if you happen to have some, you know, old masks lying around, that's fine. Because what the purpose of this is not to protect you from getting infected, but rather to protect others in the community in case you have symptoms or that you are an asymptomatic carrier. Of
yeah.
course, if you have symptoms, you should be at home and not out your essential business. But in case, you know, you are an asymptomatic individual, you're not going to spread it to somebody else.
And Dr. Mace, the last 24 hours in particular, it seems, have been quite noteworthy from news across the country. Many people, including this morning the Surgeon General, saying that this next week is going to be very difficult, something like 9/11 or Pearl Harbor, when it comes to how the outbreak is going to affect us, the number of deaths, et cetera. And that's not true for Sonoma County, too, is it?
Well, you know, we are seeing our steady uptick of cases, but no, because we're behind New York City, probably by about that 4 to 6 weeks. Not that it's going to be like New York City here, because as we've been saying all along, our demographics are different. We are a more rural county. We're not hard hit as in New York City. However, as you can see in Santa Clara, you know, they are having lots of cases. Last I checked, they're over 1,200. So we're behind, I think, Santa Clara County also by a couple of weeks. But we are going to see a lot more cases, as we predicted in our modeling.
Is there any indication yet as to why Santa Clara County is being so hard hit?
Yeah, I think, first of all, it's a city. So there's just the amount of congestion, the fact that there's just a greater population density, more people in one place at one time, is huge. The other big factor, I think, is that they have an international airport, and there are a lot of folks flying in to San Francisco and San Jose International Airports from different parts of the world. That was not restricted at the time when all the cases started. So because of that, and also their diversity is much greater, meaning that they have people from all over the world there. And so, again, it's linked to people flying in to see their relatives or whatever, you know.
Okay, that makes sense. And let's talk about testing, Dr. Mace. Always a huge point of contention between citizens here in Sonoma County. As of this morning, SoCoEmergency.org says 2,409 have been tested in Sonoma County. Does that figure reflect how many results have been noted or just the amount of tests given?
No, we have results. In other words, those are either positives or negatives that have been reported to us.
Okay.
And there may be many, many more pending tests that are in the commercial labs. So this number, dashboard doesn't tell you the negatives, but we have a lot of negatives. If you take a look at one of the charts on the dashboard, it actually does show you in a pie chart negatives and positives. So you can check that out.
What is the backlog of test results at this point? And why have there been people who have waited days or in some cases weeks for the results?
Right. So as we talked about earlier, when the commercial lab started up, they got inundated with specimens from all over the country. I don't know yet if Quest has another lab that's functional, but initially, at least 3 weeks ago or 3.5 weeks ago, the San Juan Capistrano Quest lab was doing all the specimens for COVID for the country. So they just got, I think, somewhere around 11 to 16,000 specimens a day, and that really backed them up. So we all saw a delay in test results coming in of up to 10 days.
Okay, so the total number of cases of total cases, according to SoCoEmergency.org, is 107. I'm wondering, Dr. Mace, based on the modeling information that you've been given so far, can you surmise how many active cases there may be, how many asymptomatic people there may be, in addition to the ones that have already been officially confirmed?
Yeah, it's kind of hard to do that because we're not testing widely. So if we were testing widely, we may be finding more cases. As I said, you know, the modeling assumption is that for every two patients that are symptomatic with COVID, there's one that's asymptomatic. So clearly we have a lot more people infected out there than what we're reporting here. The exact number we're not sure of because, again, we're not doing that widespread testing. But remember then, one-third of people with COVID, it seems from studies, are asymptomatic.
And when will that testing expand to the point where you would consider it widely testing?
I think every single person who's symptomatic getting tested and all contacts, asymptomatic and symptomatic, getting tested would be great. And what we're doing actually now, because we have procured more testing kits and swabs, we are planning to test both symptomatic and asymptomatic persons who've been in contact with someone who's a case because they're one of the highest risk groups, obviously.
Okay, so where do we stand in terms of healthcare workers and first responders and the testing of those, which we know is a priority?
Yeah, those people are being prioritized. We put out the guidance for doing that, so I believe all of our partners are prioritizing those folks if they show up with symptoms or if they're a contact to somebody who had COVID.
And a lot of people are wondering, still the same question that we've had for quite a while now, which is at what point will we as citizens be tested, or will there be a point where anybody who wants to get tested for COVID-19 can?
Yeah, I think we're not going to be there yet because we still have the test kits that we're prioritizing for those priority criteria that we put out. And I think it's still very reasonable for anybody who has their symptoms to stay at home and take care, try to limit exposures to other people. Again, I want to remind people that 80% of those who get COVID are going to be either asymptomatic or mildly symptomatic and be just fine. So we're really worried about protecting those vulnerable populations like people over 60 or 65, and people with underlying medical conditions. And everything that we're doing in terms of shelter in place and all the other mitigation factors, the social distancing, people not visiting their grandparents or people who are in skilled nursing, all this stuff is to keep those people safe.
Right. Can you project, I know that you have more information, we all have more information than we did a week ago at this stage of the game. Can you project that the shelter-in-place restrictions that we're currently engaged in will need to last through May at least?
Yeah, well, we've extended the health officer order for shelter-in-place through May 3rd, as
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I know.
So we're certain of that. We're certain of that. And I think as our modeling shows that we're going to have more cases over time and that likely in about another 2 months or maybe, you know, there's always with modeling, there's some chance that we're off by a little bit. So somewhere around that time, we should be seeing sort of more of a peak in cases. So we'll continue shelter in place for now and update people as we decide to extend it.
And what about the comings and goings of COVID-19? We've heard a lot of projections about that in terms of, you know, there being sort of a low-lying period for it once this outbreak is pretty much done. How concerned should we be about that?
Well, you know, I think that this is going to run its course, as you can see from the modeling data. And I'm really hopeful that a vaccine, once that's produced, will pretty much be the end, hopefully, of these outbreaks of COVID. So I think that we're focusing on that for the long term. For the short term, we need to continue all of our mitigation strategies, shelter in place, stay at home unless you need to go out, wear your homemade face covering when you go out, make sure that you follow the social distancing guidelines and the personal hygiene guidelines that we put out.
Yeah.
I think people can be safe if they just follow those main tenets.
Any further restrictions in play as far as our ability to move out and about?
Well, I think we already have quite a few restrictions out.
Yes,
there,
we do. So, yeah, we'll agree with you
so
on that.
I think just continuing that for now is probably where we are.
And some people are wondering, you know, we're all trying to get out just a little bit, not necessarily beyond our neighborhoods, Dr. Mace. Some people are wondering about the walkways and the sort of neighborhood connectors that may end up in a park, but in large part are just the way that people can get out and about in their neighborhood near the parks and near nature. Okay to do that?
I think if there are walkways that are near your home, that should be fine as long as they're not in our park system. And remember, I think now with our latest guidance that you should just wear, and I've been getting these questions, so I'm just going to say it, that you should go ahead and wear your facial covering whenever you're out of your home, whatever you're doing, whether you're biking or walking and going on paths that are close to your home and not part of the national or state or county park system.
Yeah, okay. Wear the mask, and that is the story. And Dr. Mace,
well, actually, if I can just make a correction, not a mask, a facial covering, because
yes.
I don't want to give people the impression they have to have a mask.
Fair enough. Facial covering, as it were.
Yes.
And there are about 87,000 examples of those online. So if you have any questions about what to use or how to put it together, the answers are all there for you. And a couple more things, Dr. Mace. We know we're sheltering in place for a very good reason. What's also true is that a very real sense of grief and detachment can affect our health, too. Can you speak to that?
Absolutely. And I think, Supervisor Zane has actually been really instrumental in bringing this point home, that as we shelter in place, we're isolated from persons that we're close to. But we want to make sure that this social distancing is not an emotional distancing, and you still need to be able to call people, talk to them. I know a lot of people who are doing video calls, Skype calls, even, you know, hanging out with people, so to speak, online, you know, through these venues, and I would highly recommend people do so. There's a lot of resources as well for those people who are worried or anxious and feeling depressed. I think Supervisor Zane has put some different hotlines and numbers and things like this out. So if you could put those out as well, that'd be great.
Yeah, we'll do that. And that is information also that's available at socoemergency.org. One more question for you, Dr. Mace. What are you doing to keep yourself well and to not become buried by the weight of all of this?
Well, I'm delving into the work that I feel is so impactful for the community. And that, for me, is the satisfaction. Just being involved in the work and knowing that we're doing the best for the community. So that's really my goal.
Very good. And we appreciate, again, your accessibility, availability to us, Dr. Mace. Keep up the good work, and no doubt we will be talking to you very soon. Thanks for being here.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me and for allowing me to put these messages out to the people.
Absolutely. Happy to do it. That is Dr. Sundari Mace, Sonoma County's top doc when it comes to the coronavirus. And a lot of people have been asking also about property taxes. This has been an ongoing debate. Should we pay them? Should we not? Why do we have to? And here we are just really 2 days away from the deadline for the payment of property taxes. And the long and short of it is, yes, you have to pay your property taxes. There is some question about whether if you don't, if you can't, for some reason at this time period, that the penalties for not paying them on time could be waived. But as of right now, and again, just 48 hours away from the deadline to pay your property taxes, the word from the state of California is pay them. You must pay them. And if you can't, then those penalties may be waived. But there is no movement on that, no delay on payment of property taxes, too. Also, over an inch of rain has been falling in Sonoma County so far from this storm. So in the past 24 hours or so, and the promise of sunshine to come in a couple of days, I think we're all going to be ready for that. And we'll be back with you at 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. Something breaks in between now and then, we'll be there as well. You can also hear the entirety of our interview with Dr. Mace a little bit later on KSRO.com and the KSRO Facebook page or the KSRO app. So we will just encourage you to hang in there with us, and we'll hang in there with you as we all strive to get through this pandemic together. One solitary note from Facebook this morning as I was on my way into the radio station. Everybody's got a funny thing to say here and there, and don't we need that? One item that was noteworthy to me this morning, stepped on my scale this morning and it said, please use social distancing, one person at a time. Yeah, we're all getting that right about now. It is 12:23 at KSRO. Take care of yourselves. We will be talking to you soon. I'm Pat Garrigan.